look at is called Shaka, and that means to bow, to fall down, humbly beseech, prostrate, reverence, made to stoop. So to stoop means to bend. So it's the same kind of bowing. Bowing, fall down, humbly beseech. What does beseech mean? Who can give me a modern day? Okay, a cry for help. Okay, humbly beseech, asking God, crying out to God humbly. Prostrate, that means on the ground. Reverence, we know what that means, and then made to stoop. The next one is latrino. It is not a Latin for bathroom. In the army, we call the bathrooms a latrine, and so that is not what that means. It means to minister to or to pay homage. What is homage? That's not a word we use a whole lot nowadays. Who could tell me? Honor. Okay. That's good. What else? Honor's good. It really means to give honor to one who is due. And so to pay homage means to give honor to God. All right. Next one is proscunio. It says to prostrate oneself in homage. So to glorify God by laying before him in worship, to reverence, to adore. So it gives us another angle to adore. And then let's take a look at what is praise. What is praise? The first word is halal, and that means to shine, to boast, to clamor. What does clamor mean? Make a lot of noise. Ah, to make a lot of noise. So it's okay to make noise when we worship God. Celebrate, commend. Commend means to honor, to give blessing to somebody who's done a good job. So we're telling God, you've done a good job, and to give glory. So to shine, to boast, to clamor, celebrate, commend, give glory. Next word is zamar. Zamar means to make music, to celebrate in song and music, to give praise, and to sing forth praise. So when we worship God, then he wants us to sing praise also. We could do it by just speaking and declaring to God, but we can also do it by celebrating in music and in song. And we don't have to necessarily just sing. We could play an instrument and worship God by doing that. So, and it doesn't have to be perfect. Like Tom was saying, if you wanted to come with us caroling, you know, if you don't think you can sing, well, stand next to somebody who does, and nobody will know, you know, any better about it. But God doesn't worry about how excellent our vocal skills are. He just wants us to do it. Okay, the next word is yada. It means to revere or worship with extended hands. Who could tell me what you think that means? With extended hands. Okay. Yeah, to raise your hand, to extend it beyond where it is. Extended hands. And to give thanks. To give thanks. So it is okay to do this in church. All right, we do it. We did it last night at the hockey game. Every time the Pointer scored. I was there, and I did it too, and screamed and yelled. So I know that we can make noise, and I know that we can act crazy, and you can do that in church. By acting crazy, I don't mean crazy. Just we can make noise, and we can give thanks to God. All right, the next one is tahila. It means laudation. Laudation is not really a word we use at all. We sing sometimes. There's a hymn that says, all glory, laud, and honor. So laud means to praise, to commend, a commendation, a glorifying of God. Then it goes on to say a hymn and praise. So laudation, praising God. Last one is Shabbach. And that means to address in a loud voice. Stephanie, show me what a loud voice is. Say something loud. Yeah, shout it. Shout something. No, you don't want to do it? You laugh at my foot, but then you won't help me out. Okay. All right. So we can shout, praise God, or we glorify you, we worship you, and we can make noise. I want us to get this picture that we don't just come to church and sit in a chair and we don't have to just be quiet. I mean, that's the way I was raised, but that's not the way the Bible teaches us. So we worship God for who he is. Why do we worship him? Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 16 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things, so that includes us. We're a part of the all things that have been created. All things have been created through him and for him. So we were created by him. He created us. And we were created for him. Why do you think we were created for him? To do what? Okay, to praise and worship. Have what? Have a what with him? Have a relationship with him. He desires that relationship with us. He created us to have a relationship with him. And that's his desire. So Jesus created each one of us, and he created us for himself to have that relationship with him. So in worship, it's interesting. When we worship God, we head in one direction. We head in one direction. Which way do you think we head when we worship God? North, south, east, west is not going to be it. How about upwards? Yeah, we head in one direction. We head closer to God. When we worship God, you can't go away from him. When you worship God, or if you love someone, or if you worship, like John, if you worship the ground that she walks on, then you're paying attention. It's hard for you not to be in love with someone who you do that with. And the same is with God. If we're worshiping God, we're drawing closer to him. And that's what our goal in worship is to be, to glorify him and to draw into that relationship with him and to enter into his presence. So if we're going to worship God for who he is, we have to know who he is. So who is he? So I need you to tell me what some of God's attributes and some of his characteristics are. Love. I already have that one. Good. Healer. Good. World maker. Yes, he is the world maker. All knowing. Yes, provider. Creator. Sovereign. Given? What do you mean? Oh, so he's a giving God. Uh-huh. Just? A just God? Oh, he is a jealous God. He talks about that in the Bible, the fact that he's jealous of us. He desires that we would worship him. So when the nation of Israel would fail and they would worship idols and when they built the calf and worshipped it, then God was jealous. He was hurt by the fact that his people did not worship him. What else? Merciful. What else? compassionate.
Savior.
Okay, Savior.
Righteous.
So he is a lot of things. These are just characteristics. And this is how in the Old Testament that the people of God created names for him. He would do something that made them declare God is such and such. So we're doing the same thing. We're calling him God is our world maker. He is all-knowing. He is jealous. God is our Father, Shepherd, Savior, Provider, Creator, Friend, Consuming Fire, Comforter, Lord, Healer, Alpha, Omega, Messiah, Love, All in All, Corrector, Counselor, Righteousness, Redeemer, Prince of Peace, Strength, blah, blah, blah. No, not just, I shouldn't say blah, blah, blah. He is all these. I'll go on. Mighty God, Life Giver, A Baptizer, I Am, Awesome God, A Life, Refuge, Merciful, Compassionate. So he is a lot of things to us. We that are here have declared who God is. So when you have your prayer time and you have your time worshiping God, sometimes you can't think of things to pray about, or you can't think about things to praise God for. You can always praise God for who he is, for who he is. Wow, we just talked about, I praise you, God, because you're our Father. I praise you, God, because you are jealous for me. You love me so very much. I worship you because you are the world maker. You created all that there is, and that you desire a relationship with me. So that we can do that, each one of us. And it doesn't have to be a big show or anything. We could do it. We talked about where can we worship 2 weeks ago. We can worship God anywhere. And so let's take a look at some of the words, some of the names of God. These are not all of them. These are just some. And let's talk about what they mean. I've given you the words and the names, and then a scripture, and I'll just kind of tell you what they mean. So El Shaddai means God Almighty. God Almighty. So if you want to write these in on your little sheet, because I don't know if you're going to remember what El Shaddai is. If you need a pen, I have one. You can share it. On your, well, look, see? Somebody gave. She wasn't shy, too shy. So El Shaddai means God Almighty. The Lord appeared to Abram, who became Abraham, and he said to Abraham, I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. So he received that name at that time, El Shaddai, God Almighty. Next one, Elyon, El Elyon, which means Most High God. You have the scripture verse there, Most High God. Melchizedek, who is a priest of God, and he came with Abraham. He came to Abraham, and he said that I am the priest of the Most God, Most High. God Most High, Most High God. And that means there's nothing above him. So he's the top rung, and that's who we worship. There aren't other little gods that we worship, but he's the one, the Most High God. El Elom, Elom means everlasting God. Everlasting God. Isaiah 40, chapter 40 says, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting Lord, or the everlasting God. What does that mean, everlasting God? Eternal. He doesn't quit. He's Alpha and Omega. So he's there at the beginning, and he's going to be there all the way to the end. All right? So God is an everlasting God. So he never wasn't. He's always been. And it's sometimes hard for our little finite minds to grasp that. But he's inexhaustible. He's unchangeable. He just continues on. The next one, Elroy. Elroy means the one who sees. The one who sees. I think that's important to know. I have a God who sees me, who knows what my issues are, and can help me out. When Hagar and Abraham, Hagar had a child, Ishmael. Ishmael and Hagar were pushed out of his home by Abraham and Sarah, and so she was desolate. She was destitute. She's out crying, and the scripture talks about the fact that Hagar says, "I have now seen the one who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me," because God came to her and said, "Your son will become the father of many nations." So we have Isaac who covers all of Judaism and most of the world, and then Ishmael, who became the Arab nations that we have today. All right, Jehovah. We have lots of Jehovah. So Jehovah itself just means Lord, Lord, Lord. So every time we say Jehovah, just like El means God. So Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So I can worship God because I have a God who meets my needs, a God who provides and helps me through difficult times. So I can worship God because he is my provider. So Abraham, when he was about to sacrifice Isaac, and he has the knife in his hand, Isaac is on the altar. He's about to kill him. And God says, stop. And there is a ram caught in the bushes, and so he's able to go and sacrifice the ram in his place. I am the God who provides. I am the God who provides. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord who heals. The Lord who heals. The Lord who heals. And Exodus, the verse there that I listed says, "For I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord that heals you." So anybody in here ever received a touch from God healing wise? Yeah. So there are some hands that are in here. So that they could testify to the fact that there is a God, or the Lord, who heals us. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. And what that really means is that God fights for us. He is our means to victory. He's my banner. You think of the flag going forth into battle. And so we have a God who is our banner, a God who is our victor, who fights on our behalf. Aren't you glad that you're not the only one? It's not just you fighting against the world and against Satan. If you were trying to do it on our own, if we try to do it on our own, we can't do it. But with God's help, we are able to do that. So we have somebody who fights for us. Jehovah Makedesh. Makedesh. You may have an idea what that one means. Probably not. That's kind of a different one. Makedesh means holy. Holy. Where did I write it? No, Makedesh, yeah, means holy. It's the God who sanctifies, the Lord who sanctifies. So Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 8 talks about that, how God sanctified everything for the tabernacle and for the temple, and he also sanctified and made holy those who were entering in, so the priests and whatnot. So he makes us holy. He sanctifies us. We come to Jesus and we say, please forgive me of my sins. And he comes in and he dwells within us. And then he begins to work in us. That work in us is called sanctification, sanctifying. So he's working at us. He's chipping away at the things that don't please him. And he's molding us into the image that he wants us to be. So he's the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Rohi means the Lord is my shepherd. Anybody guess where that might be found? Oh, it's on there probably. It is. Ah, that was too easy. So the Lord is my shepherd. And so he's there for us. He's the one who cares for us. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. In Jeremiah it says, this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The restoration and conversion of Israel and our means to righteousness. So he came in and he restored and he brought into a right relationship the nation of Israel. He just does the same thing in our lives. He comes in and he restores and he changes us and he molds us into that image. So I can worship God who is bringing righteousness to my heart and changing me and molding me. Jehovah Shema means the Lord is present. The Lord is present. Ezekiel says in those verses, the name of the city from that time on will be, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Jehovah's abiding presence with his people. So in the New Testament, there's a name, Emmanuel. Does anybody know what Emmanuel means? God with us. Same thing. The Lord is there. Lord is here. The Lord is with us. God is with us. So those are important to know who God is, because I would like to know the fact that I'm not alone, that I have God on my side, and that he's with me when I'm going through a difficult time, and that he's there for me. So I think that's present. The Lord is present. God is with me. Jehovah Sabbath, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. First Samuel talks about the fact, and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts, the commander of the armies of heaven. So God, who is our true commander in chief, he controls the armies of heaven and his armies, and so he's the big cheese. So again, gives us that picture of the fact that he fights on our behalf. And then Jehovah Shalom, who could tell me what that one means? Peace. The Lord is our peace. The Lord is our peace. It's nice to have peace sometimes. We go through situations, whether it's at school or in life, in relationships and whatnot, and things there's turmoil and craziness, and we have a God who brings peace into our lives. So we have a God that we can worship. I worship God because he is the Lord of peace. He brings peace to my heart. He brings peace to me. So that's just a small number of the names of God and who he is declared in the Bible. But I want us to get a picture of who he is. The words that we used to describe him, you found many of those were in the ones that they used in the Bible, that they used in Hebrew, and in mostly those were all in Hebrew, because from the Old Testament, declaring who God is. So we can worship God for who he is. So we can worship God, we talked about 2 weeks ago, we can worship God for what he has done for us, and that's what we're doing with those jars out there. You're taking them home and you're putting them in their little notes that say, I thank God because he did such and such. Every time he does something for you, you know, you ace a test, you put it in a jar and you say, and Thanksgiving, you pull those babies out and you say, ah, God is so faithful. I give him thanks for helping me with such and such and meeting my needs. So there are still quite a few jars. So I encourage you to take one today on your way out the door. So, we worship God for who he is. We talked a little bit about what happened when we worship God in the story of Paul and Silas in prison. And so, what are some things that happened? What is God's response to worship? First of all, he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. He dwells. It gives us the picture of the fact that he dwells on the praises of when we worship him, that he dwells where that worship takes place. And so when we worship God, I think he comes in a stronger, his presence is magnified and revealed more so. So it's important to worship him. His visitation, his coming into this place when we worship is a byproduct of worship. He's going to come here anyway. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. So he's going to be here. And he dwells within us, so we know he's going to be here. But he is here in a more magnified way when we worship him. It's the way God designed it. He created worship to bring praise unto his name and for his presence to come and to bring glory, his glory into a place. So we don't worship God to gain his presence. We don't just say, I want to praise God just so I can get his presence. But it happens. He's worthy regardless of his response. Even if he didn't come, that's not the way it worked and he didn't come down when we worship God, then we would still need to do it just because of he's worthy regardless of whatever he's done. So we don't worship him just to get his presence to come. It's just the way it works. It's a byproduct of worship. He speaks to us when we worship him. He, if we all listen, he will talk to us and it will tell us, okay, this is what you need to work on in your life. Or he'll say, maybe there's a tongue in an interpretation where someone speaks in tongues and there's an interpretation given. That's God speaking to us and telling us what he wants, what he's desiring from us. So the Bible talks about, be still and know that I am God. And so sometimes that's what it takes for us to not come to him with all our crazy requests. He still wants that. But sometimes if we just, if we're still, that's hard for us to do, I think. He will speak to us. And then lastly, his presence and his power is manifest. Where his presence is, his power is. Because they're hooked together. They're tied together. So when we worship God, his presence comes into our place. It's manifest in a more powerful way. And he's there. And you can feel it. I've been in services where you could just sense God's presence moving in a very powerful way and him working in the lives of people. And it's because people were open to him and they were worshiping him and glorifying his name. And that's what's important. Even if we can't remember all those names, I mean, I don't sit and worship God. I don't say, I worship you, Jehovah Rophe. The Lord our healer. I will say, I worship you because you're my healer. You don't have to memorize the Hebrew words. You could just declare who he is and worship him. And so what does God desire of us? Only one thing that he wants many things, but one thing that he desires of us is that we would worship him, that we would worship him. And we're going to do that. We're going to have the worship team come back up at this time, and they're going to lead us in worship. And I want to encourage you to enter in and put into practice. Someone said that God was sovereign. That's one of the songs that they're going to sing about, that God is sovereign over us. And I just want us to stand, worship God, and then we'll be dismissed and go into Packerland, and hopefully you'll be delivered from that someday.